This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Aerobic fitness is a well-established and robust indicator of cardiovascular health and shown to be a predictor of premature death from any cause at all. And a recent study has shown that you can determine your fitness age and overall health using some simple parameters. Well, here with more on this is Dr. Carol Sames. She's an exercise physiologist and the director of the Vitality Program at Upstate's Institute for Human Performance. Welcome, Carol. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
So once again, you bring us some inspiring information. Tell us about this study. What did it hope to tell us about our overall health and longevity?
Well, essentially, the premise of the study was that we certainly know that individuals that have better aerobic fitness live longer and have a decreased risk for cardiovascular disease. And in order to determine aerobic fitness, basically you do this nice test called a VO2 max test, which is expensive and takes some time to perform.
Okay, so let's get back to what is VO2 max? What does it stand for? What does it mean?
It's aerobic capacity. It's the ability of the body to utilize oxygen. And essentially, you and I sitting here, we're not utilizing a whole lot of oxygen because we're not really doing very much. However, if we decide we want to walk up Adams Street or we want to climb on a stair climber, we're going to need more oxygen in order for those muscles to contract. So
the VO2 max says how efficiently the body delivers oxygen to its cells. Is that the idea?
Exactly. And basically what we know is that as individuals have better aerobic fitness, their VO2 max or peak will increase. And so what this study tried to do is say, you know, if we can't have this type of test available everywhere, are there any other variables that possibly could predict aerobic fitness? And this study looked at about 5,000 individuals from Norway, men and women.
What was the age range there?
The age range was early
20s. 20s to
90.
Yes.
That's
astounding.
Quite a range.
5,000 people they
looked
at? Wow.
And they came up with what's called a prediction equation, or five variables that were able to predict aerobic fitness. And the variables were resting heart rate, which is a heart rate that you would take before you got out of bed in the morning, age, your chronological age, gender, your waist circumference.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting. And then another variable that looked at the amount and how difficult or the intensity of your exercise every day.
But when they did the study that initially, didn't they actually put people through a process where they did calculate each of these people's VO2 max?
Yes, they actually did the test.
They put them to run on a treadmill till exhaustion.
Yes.
And see how well their bodies deliver the oxygen.
Correct. And so then what they did with these 5,000 people is they said, okay, we have all these variables. Now let's see which ones will essentially predict the results of that test.
So they used all this data that they found to almost create maybe a spreadsheet of data so you know that where people fell on this continuum. And then they took that and using those other five parameters that we'll talk about in a little more detail, they could suggest that you as a 40-year-old perhaps might have a fitness age of 20 based
Correct.
On the parameters or
the reverse.
Yeah,
right. I could be older than my chronological age. My fitness age could be older than my chronological age. And obviously we're all trying to have a fitness age that's younger than our chronological age.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with Dr. Carol Sames. She's an exercise physiologist, and we're talking about how you can determine your fitness age and how that can predict your health and longevity. Let's get back to this idea of predicting health and longevity. This VO2 max number, then, or what they determine as a crucial variable, can really be predictive of longevity?
Absolutely. There have been so many longitudinal studies that have investigated all-cause mortality, and individuals that have better aerobic fitness tend to live longer. And that certainly is directly related to individuals with better fitness have a decreased risk for cardiovascular disease.
Is it also, though, that because, in other words, when you test and you see this high capacity for use of oxygen, it's also suggesting that there are not those underlying problems that might lead to death.
Right.
I mean, in a way, it's...
Exactly, because when you look at VO2 max, it's also related to body weight.
Okay.
And if we look at risk factors for cardiovascular disease, we certainly know that as I start to gain weight, I increase my risk for hypertension, type 2 diabetes, high bad cholesterol. So it's all interrelated.
Let's get to that weight circumference. That's an interesting, waist circumference, I'm sorry. That's an interesting feature as to what, why that would be one of the factors they put into this algorithm.
Well, we certainly know that weight is very important. And the authors actually suggest that if we could calculate percent body fat, that would probably be even more predictive. But the problem with percent body fat is, again, it's a test that not everybody will have. There's different types of methods for measuring percent body fat.
How do you even do that? What are some of the methods?
Well, the classic one is underwater weighing, based on Archimedes' principle, and really that's kind of difficult.
How much water you displace.
Yeah, exactly, and that's difficult. And then there's, you know, a variety of different methods. But again, you need to have the equipment. It'll take time. So they found that waist circumference, that's a simple thing, measure waist circumference around where the belly button is, and there we go, we can calculate.
So that suggests that, but that suggests that a certain amount of body fat has built up around the waist.
Right.
Is that alone a predictor of potential problems? In other words, excess body weight around the waist? Or,
well,
is it just that it's indicative of an entirely overweight body potentially?
Right. I mean, individuals do tend to deposit fat in different areas of the body, but we certainly know that, that fat that's deposited around the waist is not good fat, that individuals that have more of that pear abdominal weight have a higher increased risk for cardiovascular disease.
Let's talk about resting heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
What does that exactly mean? How do you do it for yourself? And what does it tell you?
Well, how you do it is basically when you first wake up in the morning, and hopefully not to a blaring alarm clock, because that would probably increase your heart rate.
Certainly does mine.
When you kind of slowly wake up, you'd want to take your heart rate. You can take it for 30 seconds and multiply by 2, but you want to get something before you get out of bed, before your heart starts beating faster, because obviously I'm starting to move.
So you're counting pulses.
Right.
For 30
seconds. 30 seconds, I think, is the easiest
thing. And then
you
double it, and you know how many per minute.
Correct.
Okay.
And basically what we see is in individuals who have better aerobic fitness, their heart rate is decreased at what we call rest and submaximal activity, because of a thing called the amount of blood that's coming out of the heart per beat is called stroke volume. And that stroke volume is getting larger. And so heart rate actually comes down. So
when you've exercised a lot, or when that's a part of your daily existence, so to speak, your heart rate, your resting heart rate generally is lower then.
Correct. You'll see highly trained endurance athletes, I mean, they can have resting heart rates 36, 40 beats per minute. Really.
And what's
low.
An average person then?
The average is about 72 beats per minute.
Okay, so that's quite a significant
drop.
That's
quite a significant
drop. So you're training your heart in a way.
Exactly.
And training your heart muscle.
Right. Your heart muscle is getting stronger.
So that now I understand that they've actually put a website. There's a site, we'll have a link to that on our website, where you can go on and you can actually put in these various parameters. Let's review them. Waist circumference,
mm-hmm.
resting heart rate, the frequency and intensity of exercise.
Right, which is a questionnaire.
Right, and I want to understand that a little bit more, and your age and sex. And then you put them in, and you might find out that if you're 70, you might even have the oxygen uptake of a 20-year-old.
That's probably a stretch.
That's
probably a stretch, because we know that the aging process, unfortunately, does intervene. We can only do so much, but certainly you can turn back those years, so to speak, from a chronological to a fitness age.
Well, let's get back to the how do you do that and talk about this idea of frequency and intensity of exercise, because that comes up all the time. What constitutes adequate or positive exercise on a regular basis? Or is it the issue that it needs to be on a regular basis?
Well, this particular study, they actually did look at intensity less than 30 minutes, 30 to 60 minutes, greater than 60 minutes. And then what they said for intensity was, do you feel that you're sweating? You know, they're using sweating. Do you exercise to exhaustion as an attempt to determine intensity? There's the guidelines, which we just want people to be active. And then there's the point at which, if we're talking about aerobic fitness, we do need to talk about increasing the intensity or how difficult exercise is. But you don't want to start people there, because people don't want to start at, I'm really feeling exhausted while I'm exercising, because nobody's going to be adherent. So you want to get people moving, just moving 30 minutes, and say, you know what, I barely break a sweat. That's a great place to start. But then maybe in 6 months, once you've increased the amount of time and duration and intensity, you go back and you recalculate your fitness age and you may find you've chopped off a few years.
So basically, frequency is important, but what I'm also hearing is intensity is important.
Correct.
So I think that's a very crucial point here because in a sense, we're soft pedaling this a bit when we say, just get up and move. In the sense that's important to get people at least doing that, but that's almost the bottom line level, that there really needs to be some interval training, perhaps. In other words, where you do stress your heart to some degree throughout this process of exercise.
Right.
I mean, order to get the most bang for your buck.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
You want to get people started. And so we want to get them started. But then as time progresses, we want to progress because the heart is a muscle. And so if we are going to strengthen that muscle, we need to stress that muscle.
So give us what's your prescription then? What would you say at its best? What's the great, you know, what's the perfect exercise scenario to reduce your longitudinal age, so to speak, or your fitness age?
Well, once we would get individuals that are just, they've got a couple of months of just regular, easy, not really sweating, not exhausting activity, then we would want to start to say, okay, listen, now let's try adding a minute hard and then a minute easy and a minute hard and a minute easy so that there are these breaks so that we're getting a little bit of intensity and then we're backing off. And obviously, depending on the individual in terms of symptoms that they're experiencing, you know, we won't take that all into account. But with the idea that we slowly, progressively try to increase the intensity.
So basically that is, I think, in a way, the linchpin here, isn't it?
In terms of this prediction equation, because I really can't change my gender, and I'm not going to change my chronological age, and we certainly know with more intense activity, we also will then start to burn more fat, and then that can help with my waist circumference.
So overall, I think what I'm hearing is the bottom line is that even though we say to people, just be active, what we really are saying is if you really want to increase longevity, then there needs to be some element of intensity in your exercise.
Right, sprinkled throughout. But obviously, we want to first get people moving and then progress to what I would call stage two.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that's what you do every day in your program, and it's very, very important. But it's also interesting that people could go online, for example, and see where they what their so-called fitness age is and potentially the prediction for their longevity.
It's a great motivator.
Yeah.
Where am I at now? This is my goal, you know, to chop a year off, to chop 2 years off, you know, and to work towards that goal.
Well, let's hope we motivated some people. Thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Carol Sames. She's an exercise physiologist and the director of the Vitality Program at Upstate's Institute of Human Performance. Thank you so much for coming in, Carol. You're always a joy to have.
Thanks, Linda.
I'm Linda Cohen, and this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air.